Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 5. You all know the story, the parable of the sower that sowed seed. Our Lord gave this parable of the sower that sowed seed. And it was concerning preaching and hearing the gospel. But in that parable, he mentioned thorny ground. You remember that? Thorny ground. Which he said represented the cares of this world. The cares of life choke us, stick us, prick us. And him mentioning that is so true. It is so, so true. The cares that this life has, they are so full and relentless. Just so full and so relentless. Our lives are so careful. That's how the scripture words it sometimes. Careful. Full of care. Just so full of care. Sometimes it can be pretty overwhelming. Sometimes it can be. And the relief from it for a child of God is in hearing this right here. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now that's special. That's sweet. That's relieving. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Sometimes it is very relieving to be reminded of the fact that we can even do that. We forget that we can do that. We forget to do that. And just having that called to our remembrance, just in that, it's immediately relieving. I want us to be reminded of that this morning. I want us to be truly reminded of that. That verse will be our text, but I read the whole chapter and I want us to see this verse in light of the whole chapter. All right, so let's begin reading 1 Peter 5, verse 1. It says, Peter writes, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Verse 2, he said, feed the flock of God. That is the calling of a pastor. That is the calling of a preacher. That is the task at hand. That's the commission that has been given. Feed the flock of God. I love that Peter is the one who is saying this, because Peter is the one that the Lord looked right in the eye and said to him, do you love me? You know, it just killed Peter when he said that. It just killed him. Three times he said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, I do. He said, I do. The Lord said, then feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. That is your business. That is your calling. Feed my sheep. Now, what do pastors and preachers, and I'm talking about God's true pastors and God's true preachers, what do they feed God's flock with? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The Apostle Paul said, I have determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When a sheep goes into a place and hears Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that sheep is being fed. And if it's not Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the sheep is not being fed. It's just husks. It's just... Paul said, we preach Christ crucified. So that's what God's sheep truly feed on. That's all they feed on. Just like that elder, I've told you that story of the elder who told that young man after he preached, in the elder's words, a very poor sermon. That young man came up and did what no young preacher ought to do. He said, what'd you think of my message? And the elder said it wasn't good. He said it was a very poor sermon. And the young man said, why did you think my sermon was poor? The elder said, your sermon was poor because Christ wasn't in it. And the young man said, well, Christ wasn't in the text. And the elder said, son, Christ is in every text of Scripture. Every portion of Scripture has a road that leads to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And our business is to find that road and get on it. And that's so. Peter said, this is our business. This is our exhortation. Verse 2, he said, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. That's true eternally and temporarily. God resists those who are puffed up with self-righteous pride before the judgment throne of God, saying, look at what I've done for you. Look at everything that I've done. Look at everything that I am. Look at what I've been. He resists before His judgment throne that self-righteous pride, and He gives grace and He shows mercy to those who are humbled, begging Him for grace and mercy. I need grace. I need mercy, please. So that's true concerning our eternal state. That's true concerning our temporal state in this world. If we bow up in pride, God will resist us. He'll leave us feeling far from Him. If we bow down in humility, God will give grace to us. He'll be gracious. He said, a broken and a contrite heart, I'll hear that heart. And He'll draw us near to Himself. He'll comfort us. So verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore. Peter said, let's not make God humble us, because He will. You know, Peter was a man who, he brought a lot of things on himself. He was lifted up with so much pride the night that the Lord was betrayed. You think of all nights. Here the Lord is going to suffer for Peter's sin. And he was so lifted up with pride. And you know what Peter did? He said, I'll die for you. And the Lord said, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And the Lord brought him down so low. And this is how He did it. All the Lord had to do was look at him. That's all the Lord had to do, was just look at him. So Peter said, take my word for it. We don't want God to humble us. We want to humble ourselves, he said in verse 6, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt us, exalt you in due time. Verse 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Verse 8, he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Peter said, you know, whenever the Lord causes his preachers to endure things, that makes them very convicted and very passionate about what they preach. And I can only imagine Peter from his experience saying, listen to me, I'm telling you the adversary as a roaring lion is walking about seeking whom he may devour. Where does the adversary walk and seek to devour? Where does he do that? He does it in the true assemblies of God's people. And I'm going to do my calling and exhort the Word of God and tell us we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. The adversary is not walking about in the bars. He's not walking down the gutter and in the back alleys. He's not even walking through false religion. He's not seeking to devour in false religion. He has already deceived, and he has already devoured those people. He's walking about and seeking those that he does not have control of, those that he is not the captive over. He is seeking those who are being kept by the power of God in his mighty hand. We just had a message on the fact that God's people are kept by the power of God in his mighty hand. But even though they're being kept, they are being sought after. Peter himself was kept in the mighty hand of God. Peter was kept. We know that. Peter was kept in the mighty hand of God. But because of his pride, this is what the Lord God said to him. He said, Peter, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. And what the Lord was saying in that was, I'm not going to let you go. Peter, I am not going to let you go. When you are converted, when you're brought back, I'm not letting you go. You're going to be kept. But he said, I'm going to let the adversary sift you to teach you a lesson. And he said, after it's over, you teach your brethren to not do what you did. Strengthen them in my word. Strengthen them in my way. So he said in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, he said, whom resist steadfast, how? In the faith. What does that mean? That means looking to Christ. That means looking to Christ's word, looking to Christ's way. Verse 9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He said, realize that we all have to go through these things. We all have to deal with these things. All of these things will come to each one of us, touch each one of us. Verse 10, he said, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. After our time in this world is over, and the longer we go, the more we realize our sin and our ruin and our it makes us ready to go. Makes us ready to go be with the Lord. I have plenty of reasons to want to stay. I do. I have plenty of reasons to want to stay. God's people are not morbid and all that kind of stuff, but it makes us ready to be done with our sinful flesh. And there's going to come a point when that day will come, and He's going to rid us of this sinful flesh and everything it's doing to us, everything that it's doing around us. And after all of this is over and we're finally done with this old wicked man, after the Lord finally strips that old wicked man away from us and He leaves nothing but the purity and the perfection and the righteousness of Christ the new man, Peter said at that point, we're going to be perfect. We're going to be established. We're going to be strengthened. We're going to be settled. Oh, he said in verse 11 right here, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Give to each other the kiss of true love, the embrace of true love, that spirit of unity that Christ has created in the hearts of His people, for His people. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, all of God's people are going to be able to understand what Peter is saying right here. They're all going to understand why he is saying that. God's people stay under the attack of the fiery darts of the adversary. God's people stay under the attack. And I'm going to tell you what his goal is. And this is real. Look back at history and it'll prove it to you. You just look back at recent history, and I'm talking about within God's church. His goal is to divide God's people and to draw their attention away from Christ. That's his twofold goal. And he is, as the scripture says, wily. And we're no match for him. Peter said, we need to be sober. We need to be awake. We need to be aware of the fact that he is being allowed. And we deserve whatever he brings to us because we bring it on ourselves. But he is being allowed by his creator and owner and God to do these things, to create these things and do these things. And Peter is saying the same thing that the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5. He's saying the same thing right here, which is, brethren, be aware of the fact that we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. You know, when care comes and problem comes, and why so many problems and so many issues? We think, well, it's this old wicked flesh. It's this old sinful flesh. Yeah, that's there. But he said, we're not just wrestling with flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And he said, there is only one way to resist it. I want to know what that way is. This is what he said to do. He said, cast all your care upon him. Only way to resist it. Cast all your care upon him. That's what it means when he said in verse 9, resist steadfast in the faith. Only way. Cast all your care upon him. This is the only answer to all of the problems that we're going to deal with. We need to get ready. It's only going to get worse. I wish I could say things are going to get better. They're not. Not in this life, not in this world, not in this flesh. It's going to get harder. Really? You think about how much responsibility and pain does an infant really have? You know, if they cry, how bad is it really? They're just torn all to pieces. How bad is it really? Then they grow up and they become young children. They start to experience a couple things. Teenagers, they start to experience a little more. You get out there and you get married, and then life starts to really kick in. You have your own children, and man. And the older you get, the more responsibility you have, the more people you have looking to you. And it just gets harder and harder and harder. And that's what life for a believer is going to be. It's going to get harder and harder. And the only answer to all the problems that we're going to deal with within. There are problems without, but really the problem is not without. The problem is within. The adversary is constantly attacking us within. And the only answer to this, all of the raging problems that are just one right after the next within us, is this. Take it all. Cast all your care upon Him. All your care. As problem after problem after problem after doubt after fear after. Take every one of them, cast them on Him. Cast them all on Him. Now, I'm going to say again, the adversary is going to try to divide us. And he is going to try to divide us from Christ, from each other and from Christ. He is not going to be able to do it. Not God's people. Not God's people. And here's the reason why. God's Spirit will take God's Word, and He will reach the hearts of God's people. He will overrule. There is one greater than our hearts. There is one greater than our adversary. He's not God's adversary. He's ours. He's God's pawn. And God's Holy Spirit is going to take the Word of God, and He's going to reach the hearts of God's people by reminding them He cares for you. You see everything you're enduring and going through and all that pain and all that heartache and everything. You turn your eyes right up. You turn your eyes upon the Lord Jesus. You look full into His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. He cares for you. He cares for you. Romans 8 says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the sons of God. If we're sons of God, we're joint heirs with Christ. He cares for you. Why does Christ care for us? And when we say, why does He care for us, we're saying those that God the Father chose and gave to Him. Why does Christ care for us? Because the Scripture says He loved us with an everlasting love in both directions. Sometimes we think everlasting is in the past. Long before you were ever formed in the belly, I knew you, I loved you. But it's in both directions. From everlasting to everlasting. He loved us. How did He prove His care and His love for us? How did He do that? He gave His life for us. If Christ gave His life for us, do you think He's going to let us go to ruin? Let everything just fall apart? Well, it just all fell apart. He loved us and gave himself for us. Now, I cannot make that loving and lovely to my heart. All right? Here, I'm going to tell you something. Christ loved his people and gave himself for them. He loved us and gave himself for us. I don't have the ability to make that lovely to me, but his Spirit does. His Spirit can take that word and put it into my heart and make me fall in love with the sacrifice Christ made for me, in saying to me, I'm going to take all the blame to myself. I'll take all of it. I'll take every bit of it. All of your fault, I'll make it my own. I'll own it. I'll take all the loss. I'll give you all the gain. I'll take all the wrongdoing to my account, and I'll make sure you're in perfect standing with the Heavenly Father. I'll make him turn his back on me, turn his face from me, and I'll see to it that you're in perfect standing with the Holy and Heavenly Father. I don't have the power to make myself or anybody else fall in love with that, but God's Holy Spirit has that power. And I pray he'll do that for all of us. Lord, break what needs to be broken, mend what needs to be mended, teach what needs to be taught, strengthen us, conform us, confirm us, settle us, help us. Lord, help us, help us. This is what it is to cast our all on him, is to say, Lord, you made me and I ruined it. You saved me, and thank God I can't ruin it. But that doesn't stop me from trying as hard as I can to every single day of my life. Lord, everything I touch turns to dust and ashes, so I have no choice but to cast it all on you. Would you touch it? Please, would you touch it? That's what Moses was doing when he told all those people, stand still. You'll see the salvation of the Lord. Just stand still, cast it all on him, and stand still. I don't have time. I'm out of time, but let me just quickly read two verses of scripture to you, okay? You can just listen to these. This is Psalms 37, verse 5. This says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. I'm telling you, that's the truth. What that means is don't take matters into your own hands. Commit thy way to the Lord, and then trust him. You know, one problem we have is a lot of times we don't think we're going to like the outcome. If we don't think that we're going to be happy with the outcome, it's very difficult to commit our way to him. Lord, give us the ability to commit our way to you and then to trust you that the judge of the earth is going to do right. Whatever it is, it's going to do right. Whatever needs to happen, he's going to bring it to pass rightly. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He'll bring it to pass. Here's the other one I was going to read to you. This is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it says, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That is casting our all on him. That's what it is. Safest way to go through this life. The most sober way, the most vigilant way is to cast all of our care on the Lord, not leaning to our own understanding, waiting on him, looking to him, trusting him. He said if he enables us to do that, he'll direct our path. So because of the sacrifice that Christ made for us and because of his love for us, everything he did to reunite that loving union with him, we can cast our all on him. He cares for us. And I'm going to stop. I'm just going to stop. But I wish that we could, I wish we could somehow understand the love of God for us. It just can't be told. It just can't be told. There's a song that I was going to quote to you. Let me quote it to you. I'll close with this. Okay. It says, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. Because of that love, cast all your care on Him. He cares for you." All right, you're dismissed.